Again, thank you for allowing me to be here in this honorable place. God is amazing. He truly is. As I began to pray over this sermon, I had two directions the way I could go. And I said, all right, Lord, which way do you want me to go? I've got both of these things coming at me. Which way do you want me to go? And then it was as clear as it could be. Well, this morning after Pastor preached, or as he began, it was absolutely obvious to me why he had me preach the second way. Because this morning, Pastor's sermon lined up exactly with the first lesson, the first point that the Lord gave me. I thank God that he works in that way. And I thank God for his reassurance that we have heard from him. As Pastor began preaching today, I knew that the sermon you're going to hear tonight is going to be a continuation. So if you missed it this morning, you get a double dose of it. If you heard it this morning, you get a double dose of it. So just prepare yourself for it. It is apparently the good Lord is trying to get our attention. Many times we hear things and we see the way God moves. And you may hear the same sermon by three or four different people in the period of a week. And you'll think, okay, what is this? Is everybody getting this off the internet? Well, I can assure you that this sermon was completed, and I had it in my Bible at the church this morning. So I did not take off of what Pastor had already. It was already in print and written down before we came to church this morning. But that's God's way of saying, child, I love you, and you're not hearing me. And there's something I want you to listen to, so I'm going to have someone else tell you. And when we sometimes don't catch it, then he'll have someone else tell us. And when we don't get it, then he'll have someone else tell us. Now, our patience is not that great. But our Lord's is. Excuse me. I thank God that he does love us enough to continually love on us and correct us. This morning, I had an opportunity to lovingly show correction to one of our young people. And many people could have taken that and they could have been upset by it. Who are you to tell me? Who are you? I've been at this church longer than you. But it wasn't taken that way. It was taken in a way that I intended for it. And it was taken with love, and the child accepted the correction. Don't misunderstand, I'm not out here trying to abuse your children. That's not it at all. But you'll quickly find that I do love the young people. From the little ones up, I love them enough to treat them like my own, which is a dangerous place to be. But I do care for the young people, and I want to see them doing God's work. As I began to prepare for this message, I thought, well, one thing I can do is I can go ahead first and let me clear off my desk. Little did I know I would get a sermon out of that. I have a desk at home, which I have my computer on, and I have my pen and pencil box, which is occasionally, on rare occasions, actually used for pens and pencils. And more often than not, it just becomes a catch-all for everything else. And, of course, I have a small antique bowl, pottery bowl, which is a catch-all for all the overflow from the pencil and pen box. When I began to clean that off so I could actually have room to get to my desk, I noticed how much stuff I have. And you know, sometimes you can't call it this or that, you just call it stuff. Your catch-all, your stuff. And that's what it was. I began to look through my stuff, and I found three artillery emblems for the Civil War reenactors. At one time, I was looking at becoming a member of the Bardstown Hometown Guard Unit, and they have a cannon crew. So I ordered those, but it never came to pass. I did not join. So I now have three medallions, or three emblems for that. I have numerous books of matches, which is really unusual considering I don't smoke. I have some that are waterproofed, some that are not waterproofed, some in boxes. And in some instances, I have some that are so old that they're actually falling apart when you open the package up. So they're unusual. But the stuff. I found three tubes of ChapStick, two tubes of Carmex lip balm, and one tube of Blistex. Six tubes for two lips. Does that make any sense? Of course, I did find things that are essential to all mankind. My P-38 can opener. Everybody, see a few heads nodding. If you're in the military, you know what the P-38's for. If you camp, you know what the P-38 can opener is good for. I found earplugs, flashlights, sunglass holders that fit over your visor, an old golf ball, a toothpick holder, a stick of nails for a nail gun that I don't even own, a walking with Jesus wristband which doesn't fit. All in all, it would have been a wonderful day if you had a scavenger hunt going on. Now, I'm sure you're sitting here thinking, great, now we know what kind of junk you got around your house. No, that's just the tip of the iceberg, but there is a point to all this. Sometimes we start collecting things, one thing at a time, something insignificant. But at the time, it meant something. And over a period of life, we sometimes stop and look back and go, why did I even have that? What was I saving that for? What purpose did I possibly have? And we realize that we have a hodgepodge of things which literally are nothing more than junk. We become junk collectors. We truly do. Now, the problem with that is it's the same in our spiritual life. Sometimes we become junk collectors in our spiritual life too. When we start collecting things in our spiritual life that are junk, and some of those pastors spoke about this morning, it prevents us from doing God's will. It may not prevent you from getting into heaven, but it prevents you from fulfilling the call that God has upon each and every one of us. Sometimes, just as I had to reassess my mass collection, we also need to look at our own lives. We have to reassess our situation and include our junk collection to be analyzed, and to be determined whether we truly need it or not. Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 3 in verses 7 and 8, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surprising worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Now, I'm going to jump back and forth from my junk collection in a material sense to perhaps my junk collection in a spiritual sense. There may be times in my life where I felt like I needed that item. The example of the emblems for the Hometown Guard cannon crew, if I had joined, obviously I would have needed those. Now they hold no value at all. I'm sure to someone who perhaps is on a Canon crew it would, but it holds no significance to me. Maybe, just maybe, years ago when I was hurt by someone, it had significance. And I felt that I had a right to hold resentment in my heart towards that person. I felt like I had a reason. And then maybe years later, the Lord puts it in my heart to look back on my junk collection, my spiritual junk collection. And you look back and you say, where did that resentment come from? What was that for again? Oh, folks, I want to tell you, before Christ, I could hold a grudge a long time. The first time I took Jody to my hometown, we were driving down the street and someone waved at me. And she said, did you see that guy wave at you? I said, yes. She said, well, who is it? I told her. And she said, why didn't you wave back? I said, I got nothing to do with him. She said, why? What did he possibly do to you? I said, in the fourth grade. She said, what? I said, that's right. In the fourth grade, we had it out. And I said, I don't like him. I got nothing to do with it. She said, what did he possibly do? I don't remember. You know, I had carried a grudge. Now I'm supposed to be an adult because I was in the U.S. military. But I'm carrying a grudge that had been carried around since the fourth grade and couldn't even remember what it was about. Who did I hurt? Did that man remember the... No. But that anger and bitterness was still down inside of me over something I could not even remember what it was about. I felt I had a right to hold that bitterness in my heart. I had a right to hang on to it. Why? Why? I just want you to think for just a moment. Because each one of us has had our own situation, our own moment when we committed our life to accepting Christ. We committed our life to living according to God's will. We made that choice, whether it was coming up to an altar, whether it was sitting in the pew, whether it was kneeling in front of your couch at home, wherever you asked Jesus to come into your heart. I want you to think about that moment just for a second. Just think about it right now. Just think about it. How is it that the Creator of the universe had enough love for each one of us that He would pay our debt for sin? That He would overlook the junk that we had collected? That He would look down on Tim Cooper and say, you know what? I see what's in your heart. And Tim, you know what? That resentment you feel for this man, that's just one of many. But that's okay. I still love you enough that I'm going to take you in my arms and I'm going to clean you. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to take all that junk and we're going to get it out. Can you remember the feeling that you had when you accepted Christ? Can you remember the feeling knowing that the Creator of the universe held you in His hands? That He cared enough to send His Son to die on a cross to be your sin payment? Well, folks, I don't know about you, but I know about me. And it was some pretty heavy stuff. And at that time, there's nothing nothing I wouldn't have done for my Jesus. If the Lord had said right then, all right, son, pack up your bags. I'm sending you overseas out on the mission field. I'd have done it. We get up from that altar or wherever we accept Christ and we feel like we're 10 foot tall and bulletproof and we're ready to kick down doors and run devils off. We're ready. Because we're that new creation. We're clean again. All the junk has been left behind. What if? What if when we knelt down and we asked Jesus to clean our heart, he said, you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Tim. I'm going to take that right there, but that over there, nah, you hang on to that because you might need that. And that right there, that jealousy, well, you got a right to be jealous because look at what they're getting and you're not. So you hang on to that too. And this over here, oh, that pride, you're really good at certain things, so I'm going to let you hang on to that too. If he did that, how much would be accomplished? Would there be any cleansing? Would our hearts have truly changed? Probably very little. The truth of the matter is, God doesn't want part of us. God doesn't want us to come into church and pay our tithes and sing and do all the things that fill the blocks. God doesn't want that. God wants our everything. He wants our bitterness, our frustration, our anger, our lust, our adultery. He wants all the things that prevent us from being what he wants us to be. But the only way that he'll ever be able to take those is if we freely give those up to him. Now we kneel down or we whatever. We call upon the name of Jesus Christ to cleanse us. And he comes in and he does that. And somehow, over the years, we start our junk collection all over again. Maybe it's because Pastor didn't shake my hand that Sunday, and I had something important to say. Maybe it's because when I volunteered for that ministry, they didn't support me like they do everybody else. What is it that we all have that we're hanging on to? And you know what, folks? God knows we're imperfect creatures. Just like Sister Laverne was saying. Folks, you may have been filled with the Holy Spirit, but you need to get back up and fill that tank up every day. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and cleanse us, show us what's in us. Most of us, we like to hide that little something special. Some of us can call them our baby sins, our little sins. Guess what? There is no little sin. Sin is sin in God's eyes. You know what they call a little white lie? Sin. There's no little and it's not white. It's just sin. But the thing we've got to understand is God still loves us so much that he's trying to call us back. He needs that pure generation for the work he's going to accomplish in these end days. Folks, we've heard it from so many different sources. Do we know when God's coming back? No. But all we have to do is look at what's going on in the world and know it's not going to be long. I'm not going to sit here and be silly enough to say, well, it's going to be on this day. It's going to be in this year. No, I don't know. God didn't give me insight to that. He didn't give any man insight to that. And you know what? I believe that God didn't even give that to himself in the form of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus loved us so much that he might have just told us. But then there's that will of the Father that prevented him from doing that. But you know what? We have got to get ourselves in a position to where all the things that have become hindrances to doing the Father's work are gone. It's so easy to get hurt. Not by the world. We expect it from them. We expect the people outside the walls of the church. We expect them to destroy us. We expect them to demean us and talk us down. But the hurt seems to be coming from within the walls of the church. So many people are being hurt. And it doesn't mean this church, but the church. It's been said many times before that Christians are the only ones who kill their wounded. If you have an infraction and you stumble, instead of picking you back up and helping you, coming up alongside of you and helping you through it, we basically discount you. See, I knew they couldn't hang on. I knew they weren't going to serve the Lord the right way. Oh, now we've become pious in ourselves. We think that we have a right to judge someone else. I'm pretty sure that I read something about judge not. You know what? I'm so bad about that. I'm so bad about wanting to judge other people because it makes me feel better about myself. I look at their faults and I say, oh, phew, I don't do that one. I'm good to go. So let's point out that to everybody. Guess what? Then the Lord kind of reminds me that that's not how it works. We're not being judged on other people. We're being judged against Christ. And then I have to look back at my junk closet again. And every once in a while, the conviction will fall on my heart and I'll get so heavy-hearted. And I'll say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to change. And that hand of God will come down and start removing some of that junk from my life. That hand of God will come down and start removing those things, that jealousy, that bitterness, that anger, that frustration, all the things that are sins in God's eyes. And then halfway through the cleansing, I'll slam the door. Okay, God, we're good to go. I'm good for another good term, good while. Just I'm good. And the Lord says, but we're not through, Tim. Yeah, but I'm good right now. I'm busy, got to go. Why? Because it hurts. Folks, it hurts to let go of those things that hinder us. Nobody likes to feel like they're not in control. Look at our lives. How hard is it to figure out that we're not in control? The more we try to be in control, the more that the Lord shows us, child, you're not. If I let you be in control, you may not even be here because you would have already destroyed yourself. I see so many times in the church where someone has been hurt by someone else. And it may have happened 50 years ago. But they won't let go of that hurt. And instead they decide they're just going to be a reminder to everybody that
I got hurt in the church.
Why are you acting that way?
Because I got hurt.
I understand that. But why are you being that way now?
Because the church, they hurt me.
Then why are you still here? There's a story of an old man in a church. He was cantankerous. He was mean-spirited. He was bitter. And the new preacher came to town. And it didn't take him long to understand that this man was not a nice man.
He was a deacon.
So he prayed about it. And he asked some of his other deacons, he said, explain to me, what's wrong with Bob?
Oh, well,
You know, that's just the way he is. Always been that way. Well, now hold on. Is he saved? Well, I reckon he's been here forever. Folks, how many times have you seen him in the church? Those people who don't want to be there to glorify God, but you couldn't run them off with a stick. You know why?
Because I've been hurt.
The young preacher went to the Lord and said, Lord, how do I handle this? He said, he has been hurt, and it is your job to love him into submission. How many of you think that went over real well? No. But over a period of years, it finally came to the old man's conclusion that the bitterness in his heart was not going to change how this young preacher treated him. He was going to love him no matter what. That had to be God. Because most of us do not like being around people like that. Old Bob had been hurt in church. And he made it a mission to be a pain in the neck to everybody who came to that church. And he had an opinion about everything and was going to make sure everybody knew it. But the love of Christ broke down that wall. I've seen people who are like that. I've seen people who didn't want to be where they were at, but they were not going to move for any reason. After all,
my daddy built this church. My granddaddy built this church. My great-granddaddy built this church.
And it makes you kind of wonder, and why are you here? Because you're not here because of the Lord. You're here to cause chaos and strife. So why are you here? Have you ever seen those like that? Well, guess what? With God's help and God's love, you can help them to take the junk out of their closet and get rid of it. It takes God. We've all run into people like that, and probably if the truth would be known from time to time, we've probably been that person. In Titus chapter 3, verse 10, it says, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. When Pastor was reading out of Titus today, boy, that verse caught me, and I said, okay, that's going in there. Because that was Bob. And from time to time, that's me. And from time to time, it's probably all of us. Because you know what? There are times where the Holy Spirit will come upon us and show us our junk closet, and we refuse to let it go. Or God may use another person in the church to speak a word to us about something we do that is ungodlike. And instead of looking at it that the Savior loves us and is trying to correct us, we get the old attitude. Who she thinks she is trying to tell me what to do like she's all that? No, that's not it at all. What it is that the Father chose to use her because he loves you enough trying to clean the closet. Well, I don't need her telling me what to do. That's one. And when the pastor stands up and he pours his heart out And he's talking about purification and cleansing. And he's talking about how we as a body of Christ need to purify ourselves and separate ourselves from the things of the world that are stopping us from doing God's work. And the first words out of our mouth when we walk out was, I didn't get nothing out of that sermon. Did you get anything out of that? No, I didn't either. Where you want to go eat? That's two. Reject a divisive man or woman after the first and second admonition. If God is trying to get our attention to help us to dump the garbage that's inside of us and get it out of our lives, but we choose to ignore that, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning. Being what? Self-condemned. We choose to ignore God, and in doing so, we are bringing self-condemnation on ourselves. Because we feel that what we have in our junk closet is more important than what God has for us. It's more important than what God wants to do with us. I don't know if any of you have seen these programs on television now called Hoarders. I've watched about 10 minutes of it, and I couldn't take it any longer. It made me sick to my stomach. To see these people who save stuff, and you're going, what's wrong with you? What are you saving that for? These people will save useless junk. And they will continue to save it until their entire world is being consumed with that item. It can be empty milk jugs. It can be old newspapers. It can be empty boxes. Some of the most stupid things. And we're going, why? Why would you do that? Because they're using a different standard than we are. To them, it's important. Kind of goes back with what the pastor said this morning about not washing yourself. You get B.O. Well, guess what? When you start thinking that these type things are important to you, the same way that we start thinking that our junk in the closet is important to us, we start accepting the stinking thinking. And that's the best way to put it, stinking thinking. Because it doesn't line up with God's Word. It doesn't serve any purpose. All it does is become a distraction to us, preventing us from doing His will. They have accepted a standard that they have developed themselves that allows them to act that way. We sometimes do the same things. Just like the young man that I spoke of. He didn't know that I had anything against him. And how many years did I carry that around feeling like I was justified? Folks, that was stinking thinking. That was trying to come up with a conclusion or a reason away God's Word, and put it in a way that allowed me to have what I wanted. And we do it every day. We sit here and we take God's Word and we try to justify our spin on it. Stinking thinking. Doesn't work. Because ultimately it's God's Word by which we will be judged. It's God's Word which tells us, let go of those things. You don't need those anymore. You're a new creation. What are you hanging on to? What am I still hanging on to? Thousands of old milk jugs? Jealousy? Old newspapers? Fear? Empty cardboard boxes? Anger. We could go on and on. But the fact is, we all have things in our junk closet that God wants removed. And He loves us enough that He put a blood covering over it. And it was cleansed. But then we started filling our closets back up again. When God says we are to be a peculiar people, He wasn't talking about being a hoarder of junk, a junk collector. That's not what He's talking about. We're supposed to be different from the world. We're supposed to stand out from them. We have to be in the world, but we don't have to be of it. In Jules Verne novel, The Mysterious Island, he tells of five men who escape a Civil War prison camp by hijacking a hot air balloon. As they rise into the air, they realize that the wind is taking them over the ocean. Watching their homeland disappear on the horizon, they begin to wonder how long the balloon can stay afloat. It wasn't the new ones that had the nice pool that you can put the hot air back up into it. Remember, we're talking the Civil War days. So they began to look at their options. And slowly, they began to take off their shoes and their overcoats and toss them into the ocean. And the balloon slightly rose, and they went further out to sea. As the hours of the day passed, they noticed that once again, they began to get closer to the water and they could make out the waves more clearly. They decided, let's toss our guns and our food because it's better to be high and hungry than drowned on a full belly. So they got rid of those things. Again, the balloon rose. And again, it was only a temporary fix. A few hours later, the balloon began to slowly descend near the ocean. Suddenly, one of the men says, "Hey, let us take the ropes that hang down and secure the basket, and let us tie those together, and let the basket fall to the ocean, and we can sit on the ropes that are tied together." After much discussion, they decided that was the only alternative they had. Either that or they would certainly perish. So they did. And as they watched the basket fall to the ocean and make that final splash, they begin to rise, and they rose, and they looked. And off in the distance they went, "Look, it's land." And they saw the land, and they were so excited. For now they had hope. As the balloon got closer and closer to the land, it slowly began to descend. Knowing that they couldn't jump out of the balloon on land, they decided there was one thing to do. And as they got close to the shoreline, they all jumped out and swam to safety. The reason I bring this up, they lived because they were able to assess what was truly needed and what wasn't. What was absolutely essential to survival and what was nothing more than an excess weight dragging them down to certain destruction. I'm asking us today, after Pastor's message this morning, and now what I feel the Lord has given us here, let us examine our lives to see what is completely essential and what is nothing more than junk that's dragging us down, keeping us from achieving all that God has for us. We need to follow Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. When it tells us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. When we know what is right and we do not do it, we want to hang on to it, then we're sinning. When we let it go and allow God to heal us, then we have life, and that more abundantly. I am asking you right now just to bow your head and close your eyes. Little did I know that after I prepared this sermon, less than 2 hours later, he would call my hand. God began to show me things in my own life that were not pleasing. He began to show me my own junk collection. And he began to call me out. Every day, people are perishing because we are not out there telling them about Jesus Christ. And it is our job. Just as Sister Laverne said, many people say, well, that's the pastor's job. Have you ever seen the shepherd make a sheep? No. It's the sheep that make sheep. We are the sheep. We need to remove the junk in our closet and allow God to do a work in us. It may be something that happened in your childhood, something that you say, well, I just can't let go of that. You can if you allow God. It may be that loved one who is hurting you, whether it's physically or emotionally. You still need to let go. We all are mature enough in Christ and know enough of the Word of God to know what is right and what isn't. We know what is junk and what isn't. Those things that you're holding on to, do you honestly feel like you can justify it before our Lord? Yes, Lord, I know, but I kept hanging on to that because of this reason. Will it carry any weight? Or will it just drag you down? I'm asking each one of us tonight, let us look at our lives. We've all been hurt. Let us not be like old Bob and be angry and bitter. And let us not let it drag us down. God wants us all to be a blessing, not only to one another, but to those out there in the world. And folks, if they look at us and all they see is a bitter, angry spirit, then we've forgotten our calling. Our junk closet's full. I I'm asking you right now. You know what's in your junk closet. I'm going to ask you right where you are. And folks, I'm asking every one of you to shut your eyes. This isn't about you, and it's totally about you. I'm asking you, if you know that there's things in your junk closet that you want to give up to God tonight, just lift your hand up. Thank you. And I'm lifting mine too, folks. There's still junk to be removed. And that's why it's so important for us. You can put your hands down. Thank you. That's why it's so important for us to every day call upon the Lord and say, Lord, show me what you see. Show me what's in me that's displeasing to you. Because he loves us so much. He gave everything for us. And he wants us to be willing to give everything to him so that we can do his work. Father in heaven, I ask you right now, Lord, you know our hearts. You know the junk that we hold in there. You know the things that we feel justified in hanging on to. But Lord, I know that I cannot do it on my own. I know that those who are here cannot do it on their own. You're knocking at the door. You're telling us, let it go, child. Empty your heart of those things. Father, help us tonight. Help us to be willing to let go of those things. Help us to get the junk out of our closet, the trash out of our lives, and no longer be junk collectors, but servants of the Most High God. We ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.